God, you truly are great. You're better than we thought you were. You continue to unveil to us your greatness and your goodness. You truly are great, and you're greatly to be praised. And it's an honor to be able to come and sing praises, to stand to our feet to the God who's worthy, lift our voices to the God who's worthy. You gave us these feet. You gave us these voices. You gave us these hands to raise in praise. And they're yours. So Lord, thank you, God. You are great. You are great. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We started last Sunday talking about the covenant, and it was a lot of information. I do preach in series so that I can add detail on top of detail and not have to bring it all out. But I do have to remind from one week to the next kind of where we were. So last week we talked about three covenants. We talked about God's covenant with Noah, and it was a covenant to all humanity and creatures. And the covenant was that God would never destroy the earth again using a flood. And the sign of that covenant was a rainbow. The next covenant was the covenant with Abraham. We're going to read it in Genesis chapter 17. And his covenant would be that he would make Abraham a great nation, bless all nations through him. And the sign of that was circumcision. And then the third covenant we talked about was the covenant God made with Moses, gave to Moses to make this covenant with the people of Israel. This was a conditional covenant. And it was a covenant in which if they could obey the commandments, then they would be a special people to the Lord. And he would bless their going out and their coming in, bless everything that they do. And it was a conditional covenant. The covenant with Abraham, God says, that one's on me. The covenant of the law, they would have responsibility. They said, we're going to do it. But they have proved over and over and over again that they couldn't do it. There had to be something different. I want to look at the covenant in Genesis 17, the covenant with Abraham. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendant after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. This special relationship. He said, I make a special relationship between me and you. And he continues to tell him about the covenant. Verse 8, also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. And so we talked last week about the Noah covenant, the Abraham covenant, and the Moses covenant, but tied our salvation, the new covenant, back to the Abraham covenant. We're going to kind of open up some of the details of that today as we understand it. I need to point out to each of us this morning that if we are going to have a power for living a supernatural life, that comes through a confidence. That comes through a faith. That comes through understanding your identity. And that comes through a grasp of the covenant. That comes with the understanding that I have a special relationship with God. That those who aren't in that relationship, they don't get what I got.
That's right.
But because I am in that relationship with God, I'm a part of a covenant. And there are things that come with the covenant. And so let's look in Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah 31:31, the prophet is sharing about the new covenant. And he's talking about the deal that you got in on, all right, if you're saved. And so this was before Jesus came. The prophet Jeremiah says in verse 31, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers," catch this part, "in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." That would be the Mosaic covenant, the covenant with Moses, the Ten Commandments, and all the law. It says, "My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He said there's a transformation. There is a supernatural transformation that has to happen in order for someone to live this law, these commandments, for someone to live out this truth. You got to be transformed. You got to be saved. Amen. Verse 34, "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Amen. Ain't you glad of that passage of scripture right there? Ain't you glad that he forgives and he forgets? Amen. I am so thankful that he forgives and he forgets. People might forgive, but we don't forget so good, do we? We don't forget so good. But the God who knows everything says he's willing to forget some things. Those sins that are under the blood of Jesus. Amen. I want to turn now to Galatians chapter 3. When we're talking about this new covenant, this is the covenant, the new covenant. As Brad led us in communion, He mentioned what the exact words of Jesus as he was sharing a transition in tradition. The people of Israel had the Passover meal. And then Jesus comes along and says, yeah, we're going to change that up today. And we're going to turn this thing into not only a Passover meal, but communion, in which we commune with God, we commune with one another, but we are bringing out the essence of the blood. Essence of the blood. Now, we understand when we take communion, the bread is for the healing and the blood is for the saving. There's a lot to that. Kind of got quiet in here. I understand. I didn't understand that either for a long, long time. I didn't know. I was brought up all about the blood, but I never heard anything about the bread. You just took it. We didn't know what it was for. Well, Jesus' body, by his wounds we're healed. His stripes were bore for our healing. That's Isaiah 53. And it confirms it in the New Testament. By his stripes we're healed. And so we take of the bread to remind ourselves that his saving is not just to get us to heaven, but he brings heaven to earth and impacts our bodies even today. Impacts our minds today, impacts our emotions today. And so his salvation is complete. Amen. It covers every facet of the human being, including your body. And so we recognize that. And Jesus comes along and says, and this blood is the blood of the new covenant. Jesus, before I move on to that, Jesus is the fulfillment of Genesis 22. Genesis 22, God tells Abraham, it starts off in verse 1, God tests Abraham. And he says, you take Isaac, your only son, the son whom you love, you take him up Mount Moriah and you sacrifice him to me there. Now Abraham believed God, and that's what it tells us over and over all through the Bible. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What was his righteousness? His faith. His faith was his righteousness. And so God says, oh, you're going to take Isaac up there at the top of that mountain, you're going to kill him. What does Abraham tell his servants down there at the bottom of the mountain? Me and the boy will return. He believed that God would raise his son from the dead in order to fulfill his promises, because God can do anything but fail. Amen. He's a promise keeper. And so he knew that he could trust God, that if God told him to sacrifice his son on the altar, then that's what he would do. But God would raise his son from the dead in order to fulfill his promises. Can I remind you that when he got up there and he raised that knife, God says, no, I see now that you trust me. But do you remember that question that Isaac asked? Dad, we got the firewood. But where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said to his son, God will provide for himself the sacrifice. And he did, his own son, Jesus. Amen. And he did raise him from the dead and is fulfilling our promises through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. So, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're not in this covenant relationship, basically how that happens is you recognize that you are incomplete and in your sin. But Jesus has come in order to wash away your sins and transform you. But by trusting, that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ, and your faith will be accounted as righteousness. Amen? There will be a supernatural transformation we call salvation that happens in you when you put your faith in Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. If you have a physical Bible in front of you, it'd be a good place and a time to get a pen and just start circling the in hymns of the passage that I'm about to read this morning. And as you therefore, in other words, in the like manner, in the same way that you got saved, as you therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. How did you receive him? By works or by faith? By faith. That's how you received him. By faith. For works, but you got saved by faith. Otherwise, you're not saved at all. We're saved by faith. So if that's how you receive Christ Jesus, how am I going to walk today? By faith. How am I going to walk tomorrow? By faith. And so verse 7, rooted and built up. Now, I need to go back for a second, though. Verse 6 again. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Amen. Circle that right there. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him. And established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Can't stand the tradition of men. Moving on. According to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Keep reading verse 10. And you are complete in him. Amen. Man, I'll just take a pen, just write that on my forehead. So when I look in the mirror, I'm reminded, you are complete in Jesus. That would not be a good tattoo, but I... be a good reminder to me. You're complete in Christ Jesus. Can we read it again, verse 10? And you are complete in him. You're incomplete before him. You're incomplete before him, but you're complete in him. Soak that in for a second. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. If he's the head over all demonic activity, all principalities. By the way, a principality, that's a high ranking one. And he is over that. And you're in him. What does that tell you? Amen. When people say, how you doing? Well, pretty good under the circumstances. Say, what are you doing under there? You're supposed to be in him. Above all principalities and powers. Amen. Keep reading verse 11. What's that start with? In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, it's spiritual, not physical. 12, you were buried with him in baptism, in which also you were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Amen. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. I know that first one would make you think, verse 13 will make you think that verse 14 is also talking about your sins. Let's read 13 again. You've been dead in your trespasses, uncircumcision of your flesh. He is made alive together with him, having forgiven you the trespasses. And having, check out verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. You don't have to live up to God's requirements of the law because you're connected to the covenant with Abraham. So why did he give us the covenant with Moses? Why did he give us the law? Well, we're going to talk about that. I'm not saying that you don't live holy. I'm saying you can't live holy unless you have Jesus. But when you do have Jesus, you are accounted as holy, and that affects how you live. Amen. Having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He completed it. He completed the requirements. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. He is the completion of the law, and you are complete in him. Amen. I'm preaching better than y'all amening. Come on now. Having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities. He's over them, and now he's disarmed them. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Amen. So here's some of the requirements. So let no one judge you in food or in drink regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Those are traditions of men. Don't get caught up in that stuff. It'll suck the life out of your salvation. I didn't say it'd cancel your salvation, but it'll suck the fun out of it. If you ain't enjoying your salvation, you're doing it wrong. I'll say that again. Nobody has made a t-shirt out of that yet. You on it? All right, write this down. If you're not enjoying your salvation, you're doing it wrong. Amen. Let's do it right, man. How am I going to enjoy myself? Recognize that I'm part of the covenant, and by faith, I am in this relationship with Christ Jesus, and I am considered the righteousness of God. Now, I know me, and I know that I fail a lot, but I also know the scriptures that tell me that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, and God, he made him who knew no sin to become sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you are the righteousness of God if you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's worth getting excited about. So as we recognize, as God told Abraham, take your boy up to the top of Mount Moriah, sacrifice him there. Isaac says, where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. And when Jesus comes strolling over the hill, and John the Baptist sees him, he's down there in the Jordan River, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. That's the new covenant. That's the new covenant. That's the deal you got in on when you got Jesus. If you didn't get Jesus, boy, you better get him today. Don't leave without him. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, the book of Galatians was written in response to a group of people called Judaizers, and they were trying to teach that you had to become Jewish in your activity, follow Judaism in order to get saved. And Paul was responding to them and said, no, you don't. That's the shortened version. Did y'all get that part? His response, you don't have to. But let's look at the details. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham, everybody say Abraham, amen. Not Moses. Now to Abraham and his seed, notice that's capitalized, that's referring to a person. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, in other words, to Jewish people, but to a Jewish person, he made the promise. And to seeds, not as to many, but as one, and to your seed. And who is this person? Christ, which means Messiah. Verse 17. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years after that fact, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. I know that's a lot going on there. So let me just remind you. We had the covenant with Noah. We had the covenant with Abraham. We had the covenant with Moses. We had the covenant with Abraham. And then 430 years later, we had the giving of the law. And so he says the Judaizers are getting it all wrong if they're trying to come over here and say you got to fulfill all of the law to get what you was promised here. No, the promise goes back to Jesus. It all goes back to Jesus. Verse 19, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of the transgressions till the seed, capital S, Jesus, should come, to whom the promise was made. And if it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for only one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. In other words, if the law could save you, you wouldn't need Jesus to come and die on the cross for you. But it can't. Verse 22. But, I love the big buts of the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. How? By faith. In who? Jesus Christ. To those who believe in Jesus. Now, what does this word believe mean? It's, you know, the word that we use as the most essential word in Christianity, the word believe, is often misunderstood to think, well, if I just have some mental assent. But here's what the word means, is to rely on, to cling to, and to trust in Jesus. When you rely on, cling to, trust in Jesus, that is saving faith. Amen. That is living faith. Amen. So, somebody help me out. Where'd I quit? Anybody? All right, I'll just read it all over again. Somebody fixing. Oh, here we are, verse 23. It's like, oh, I'll find it. Don't read it all again. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith, which would afterwards be revealed. Speaking of Jesus, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. Amen. That's just a fun word to say, tutor. Tutor. What does he say? It's a tutor. It's a teacher. The law was a teacher to show you, not that you can be righteous, to show you that you can't. And then comes Jesus. He says, I hope you now understand that you can't of your own works be righteous, but that you can come to Jesus Christ and you will be in him accounted as righteous. Just like Abraham. Abraham, I want you to get up, move from the east, go to the west. Where are we going, God? I'll tell you when you get there. Okay, here we go. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Where does righteousness come? By faith. In the same way that you receive Christ, so walk in him, by faith. Verse 26. For you are all children of God. Amen. Amen. Through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore is neither Jew nor Greek. Amen? Amen. I'm a Gentile. I'm very, very Gentile. I'm very, very Gentile. I'll eat crawfish, catfish, scrimps, crab legs, bacon, pork chop, ribs. And I hate it for these guys. They're out. But I'm in that stuff. I'm all over it. But he says, it's not by what you eat that you get saved. It's not by what you do that you get saved. It's by what Jesus did. Amen. Verse 28 again. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave or free, neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. And heirs. You get an inheritance according to the promise. Amen. Remember there in VBS, Father Abraham had many sons. And here I'm a little catfish eating Gentile boy. And I don't even know what we're talking about, being a child of Abraham. But the scripture says, because I put my faith in the seed, capital S, Jesus, I am in on that promise. Amen. I'm in on the promise. Praise God. What we have with covenant is we have agreement. We have agreement. There's been a passage of scripture the Lord has just really just been opening up to me and showing me just more and more about this. I've been reading all my life, but yet John 14:30 is just, it's so powerful. When Jesus is in the garden with his disciples, he's about to depart, he's about to be arrested. And he tells his disciples, he says, I can't talk to you much longer because the ruler of this world, the God of this world, Satan, is coming. He says, but he has nothing in me. Man, hang on to that for a second. He has nothing in me. Has he got anything in you? He has nothing in me. I looked at every translation. Amplified Bible, so cool in how it translates it. But it says, he has no claim on any part of me. Now, remember, covenant is agreement. Abraham and God came to an agreement. And God then puts Abraham to sleep. God himself walks through the blood, says, Abraham, what you can't do, I can and will. Therefore, you are in that covenant. And it's what God did that got you saved. Amen. You just simply trusted. You believed. But then you come into agreement. And so there's a study that I love doing. This part of no part. Satan has no part in me. He's not agreed with Satan on anything at all. He doesn't agree with Satan. He didn't give Satan any access to him. Everybody with me? Y'all following what I'm saying? He didn't give him any access. He did not follow one of his lies. He doesn't agree with Satan. So, do you remember when David and Goliath, when David comes up to feed some food to his brothers, and there's the armies of Israel and the armies of the Philistines, and Goliath down in the valley as the champion of the Philistines, which means he represents the entire nation. Then David comes and says, how come nobody fighting this guy? And big brother says, shut up, little Dave. You're going to get us in trouble. Just get out. It's none of your business. Little Dave, as a little brother, I can sympathize. He said, what I do? What I do? Then he said, is there not a cause? Yeah. Catch that. David said, there is a cause. There is a Philistine talking trash about our God. And then little Dave comes down there, and he's going to fight Goliath, and he says, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? Now, what's his anatomy got to do with anything? Except David being on eye level with it. It has everything to do with the covenant. What did I say was the sign of the covenant to Abraham? Circumcision. And David says, he's not in this deal. He's not in this commitment. He is not in this arrangement. Why is he talking trash about our God? And why are y'all afraid of someone who is on the losing end of this thing? God is over all principalities and powers. Why are y'all scared of him? He's easy. This is an easy deal. And big brother's like, shut up, Little Dave goes down there, pow, kills him, takes him out, proves that me and God in covenant are the majority. Amen. Amen. Book of Nehemiah. I'm going to try and get quick with this and wrap this thing up. Book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, they come out of captivity, come back to Jerusalem. He's going to lead them into building walls around the city of Jerusalem. And here comes the enemies. Sanballat, Tobias, and all these other cats. And they come running their heads. And Nehemiah says this statement, you have no part in this. No part. Just keep coming back to no part. No part. You have Goliath, he has no part in this. Nehemiah to the enemies, they have no part in this. They're not in this deal. They're not in on this covenant. And here we get into scriptures where it says that we should not be unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It's not just talking about marriage. It's talking about everything in life. Don't come into agreement with anything that's not in the covenant. When we took communion a little bit ago, that was a covenant meal in which we said, we're in this thing together. We're in agreement with one another. When you were baptized, you said, that is a sign of the covenant. That's a sign of the new covenant. I am baptized. I am in this thing. Through Christ Jesus, I am united with his death, burial, and resurrection. And now we come together in the fellowship of the covenant through communion. And just keep coming back to that fact. Jesus says, he has nothing in me. I didn't believe any of his lies. I didn't come into agreement with one thing. I didn't come into alignment at all. I didn't open a door for the enemy to come in. Every time we believe the lie of the devil, we open the door for the enemy to come in. Jesus says, he ain't got nothing in here. Nothing in me. I want to wrap it up with, I do want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll get there. Y'all hang on. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion, see the word fellowship and communion, same word, has light with darkness? When you come into agreement with fear, when you come in agreement with the lies of the enemy, you're allowing him access into your soul. You're allowing it, and Satan will fool you with your feelings. Don't you know that? He will lie to you and fool you with your feelings. And when you come into agreement with that, he has a part in you, but he's not to have a part in you. You're in covenant with God. And so he says, don't be unequally yoked. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? I love that. What communion has light with darkness? It don't even make sense in the world. In the world, it don't make sense. And it shouldn't make sense in a Christian either. Shouldn't. Verse 16. And what agreement? You see that word? Everybody say it again with me. Agreement. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Amen? You're the temple of the living God. Don't come into agreement with the things of the devil. But the Bible says where two or three Christians who are in covenant come into agreement, then heaven will move on earth. Amen? When we come into agreement with one another, when we are in the covenant together, then God says, I'm going to move by their faith. To have faith, you have to have confidence. Faith is confidence. And to have that confidence, you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are in covenant with God through Christ Jesus. Amen? Ain't this good? Don't it fire you up? When we just begin to unravel the great mysteries of God, the beauty of your salvation, don't just make you love him more. Yes. Just makes you love him more. When you find out that who he is love. And what you couldn't do on your own, he did for you. And he's spread his love out on you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, thank you that when we were unlovely, you loved us anyway. You sought us out. You showed your love to us. When we turned to you in repentance and put our trust in you, then you saved us by the blood of Jesus. You sealed us by the blood of Jesus. And every day, in the same way that I receive Christ, I walk in him. Just resting, trusting, believing the power of the blood of Jesus. Resting that I am in covenant relationship. And that covenant relationship means that God is guaranteed that he fights for me. He will go against the enemy on my behalf. And that I'll never be outnumbered. I'll never be overpowered. I'm an overcomer. Because first Christ has overcome me. I've been overcome by Jesus. Now I'm overcoming through Jesus. Thank you, God. We love you too. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.